Welcome to Get Over It, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. We've got a very special show tonight. We're going to have our first Woman Summit. We have a very diverse panel of powerful women to talk about the role of women in today's society. And we will discuss the Me Too movement, political leaders, social change, motherhood, and the current, you know what, guys, I'm getting like feedback like, welcome to Get Over It, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. We've got a very special show tonight. We have our very first Women's Summit. We have a diverse panel of powerful women to talk about the role of women in today's society. We will cover the Me Too movement, political leaders, social change, motherhood, and the current situation at the border, and pay disparity and women's health, and so much more. So our panel for today is Dr. Kak Young. Yes, folks, Kak is back, and you know that she's a Hollywood writer, producer, and author, and she's been on the show many times before. We have Tracy Abbott Cook. She's an astrologer, WGA member and writer for The Tonight Show with Jay Leno and The Late Show with David Letterman. And we have Hadley Fitzgerald, who is a licensed psychotherapist, an astrologer, and author who asks, what does your soul want of you, with you? And last but not least at all, we have Jacqueline Zeman, and she is an actress, she's an author, a TV radio host, and she is the designer of many things. And as you know, she is the chief surgical nurse, Bobby Spencer, on ABC's General Hospital. And she has a new series out, and it's on TLC, and it's called Make This Place Your Own, which premiered on June 2nd at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, so you can check it out on TLC. So we're going to have a lot of fun tonight as we talk about the different women's issues. However, first, I'm going to tell you a bit about myself. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through the blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back. But the real question is, are you really ready to? Now, folks, by the way, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I am the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, The Men and Money Book, and Masterful Choices, The Key to Easy, Effective Change. I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the fullest. Now, my clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, go to my website, MoniqueChapman.com, and I invite you to like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn, and you can always sign up for my opt-in newsletter, Intuitive Living, and again, that's on my website, MoniqueChapman.com. So with this wonderful group of ladies today, I want to welcome you all. And Kak, thank you so much for assembling such a diverse group of women.
It's my honor, Monique, and I must say I have some really powerful friends, and your invitation to me to invite them on your radio station was just a glorious chance to get everybody's opinion out there, because I'm going to tell you, these people have opinions, and rightly so. They are, you know, very dynamic in their own lives, and they help people, they change lives, and they're all very positive spirits. So I have gathered for you this group so that, well, you can ask them any question that you dare to.
Be careful what you ask for. Well, you know, ladies, the year 2017, 2018, it could absolutely be known as the year of the woman. I mean, we have come forward. We have stepped up. We're not taking any more bullshit. That's the other BS, by the way. And we're just moving forward. So let's just jump right into it. Let's just talk about the Me Too Time's Up movement that's going on. What are your thoughts? And anybody can jump in. Just say who you are so the audience knows and share your thoughts with me. Oh, don't be shy, ladies. Okay, here we go.
So, well, I think all of us have experienced that. I know that two of us work behind the scenes in show business, me and Tracy, and Jackie works in front of the camera, and Hadley has a lot of clients that are in show business. So, of course, it's been rampant. And I think, you know, the casting couch, number one in Hollywood, so famous for making women do sexual favors in order to get jobs. I mean, come on, enough. Thank God for the courage of these women to stand up. And it wasn't easy for any of them. Thank God they stood up and said, let us rattle this cage once and for all. And now I've just seen it all trickle down into these contractors that I've been working at. Everybody knows, I think I was in the Thomas Fire and we're reconstructing our house. And even the contractors are really careful of what they say now. We have terrified the men, ladies, for good reason.
Yay, because it's about time. So why this change now? What do you think, Jackie?
Why now? Well, I think there's safety in numbers, and I think it's human nature to feel that you can be more open when you have, you know, you're in a tribe, and the movement has made a lot of women who, you know, some of these situations or episodes that you hear about happened 30 years ago, a long time ago, just for someone to keep something dormant and never tell anybody for 30 years and now all of a sudden feel safe. It's probably very therapeutic. However, I think that there have been instances where some people have used this as an opportunity to maybe get publicity or maybe come up with stories that, you know, something that happened decades ago. I feel bad. I don't have a personal experience with this. I don't have a story, you know, where it ever actually happened to me or that probably subtly over the years in being a woman, we've all experienced that. But I think that happens, you know, any person. It's not always being a woman. Things happen because of your, you know, your religion or where you live or your neighborhood or what country you're from. So we all experience those kind of feelings. I think it's good that people have come out and are now, but you're right, Kak. I think you made a good point when you said, oh, we've terrified the men. But, you know, you also don't want it to get to be a point where people are afraid to give a compliment or to say, like, you know, to have a man say, oh, my God, you look beautiful, or, oh, you know, I love your legs, or you look great. I mean, is that over the line? I don't know. It depends on if it makes you uncomfortable. Everybody's different. That's what I'm saying. So the boundaries are kind of mishmashing all over the place right now. And it'll be, I think once we get out of the Me Too movement and everybody's not hashtagging and talking about it, it'll be interesting to see what the norm becomes then.
Well, hopefully it becomes more civil. And someone will come to speak up.
Yeah, is Hadley. I think to Jackie's point, it's a pendulum swing, as so many things are. I'm probably the oldest person here in the conversation, and so remember very well back into the transition, you know, in the 60s and 70s into what was the burgeoning of the women's movement, and we swing to the extremes, and then we have to come back to the center. I came to Los Angeles to be in, you know, in the film, in the acting business. It's a whole long story, which I won't bore anybody with. But I had several experiences with that piece of meat kind of thing. You know, I remember being in a casting office one morning, and know, perfectly nice casting director. I'd spoken with him before, and he put me on a little kind of dais and called in four guys, and they circled around me. And they were deciding about, you know, some role that I might be eligible for. And they talked about me as if I weren't there. I was maybe 20 years old, 21 years old, something like that. And they talked, and I said, well, so what do you think? Does she need to lose another 5 pounds? Do we want a blonde? Do we want a brunette? What do you think, you know? And one guy even tugged at the skirt on my suit and said, yeah, well, no, maybe she could lose about 10 pounds. Or, I mean, it was... You know, that was that. But it was that, this was the price you paid for entry into this world. Struck me as awkward and uncomfortable, but the, you know, and this is air quotes, what are you going to do? And I had several experiences of the classic thing of being underestimated because I was a woman. You know, how does someone like you know that, or that kind of thing? Or even being told when I left that whole part of my life behind me, and even when I was in graduate school, the director of the school, who knew he was dying and I was his assistant, I was finishing my hours to become a therapist, et cetera, et cetera. And I had done the whole accreditation program process for the internship program and the graduate school itself on a national basis. And he called me into his office and he said, you know, when I'm gone, he said, people are probably imagining that you might be stepping into my role here. I was in my 30s at the time. And he said, so I want you to know why I'm not going to do that. And this is a very enlightened man, given his time, you know, in history. And he said, I can't do it because I can't imagine a woman in this position. Mm. So I just wanted you to know that rather than wondering why I wasn't going to recommend you to take over. And I remember sitting there and thinking, whoa. And not that I particularly wanted to take over, wanted that job. I was going into private practice. I didn't see myself taking over the clinic. But it's that kind of, you know, these things or these undercurrents have been building really through millennia. And now there's some kind of critical mass. And then I look at it astrologically, and just as the Me Too movement took off, Jupiter went into Scorpio, came out of an air sign, went into a water sign, which we have to use these gender words. You know, it's a feminine sign. We have Saturn in Capricorn. We have Pluto in Capricorn. We've got Neptune in Pisces. These are all feminine signs. We now have Uranus in Taurus. So there's something that is gathering steam, gathering force here, that is emphasizing the feminine, which is more connective, more collaborative. How do we support one another? And also, how do we speak out and respond to what's been going on forever, really forever? It's time. And to me, on an extremely melodramatic basis, it's not melodramatic, extremely powerful basis, the future of life on the earth is at stake here.
Yes.
That the balance of feminine and masculine, again, I don't like those gender words, yin and yang, whatever you want to say, but we've got to have our consciousness come into the world now to make address the changes that are absolutely essential, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like the goddess energy, you know, the energy of the female, the strong female, is finally coming and perhaps will stay maybe in power
or
guide.
I don't think it's a certainty. It needs critical mass, you know.
Sure.
I don't want to go on and on, let other people talk, but
feel free. We've got time.
Well, it's so. If we go back here, we're looking at the white patriarchal dominator substrata of the population, and what it's done to the non-white majority for centuries, and it's what the rational has done to the non-linear. It's Apollo versus Dionysus. It's what Hyde did to Dr. Jekyll. It's what the church's inquisitors did to the soulful yearning in Galileo, you know, to redefine our place in the universe. And it's on another level, it's what the addict does to his own soul and that of everyone around him. So we're a very addictive society, we're a very traumatized society, and addiction is a response to trauma very often. Not always, but very often. So we're in some very large zeitgeistian situation, and we're quite in the center of the storm here. And
for sure.
What we can do in our own places, and for some people on a very wide scale, you know, but not all of us have a very large platform. One of the things I see in the women that I work with, which is like about 2/3 of my clients are female, is even among young women, the still devaluing of their own bodies, of their own personhood, is it's just still in there, and it's very, very strong, and yet something knows that's not right.
Well, this is Kat, yeah. and you know, when we look at or listen to the stories about the hazing in the universities, there
yes.
is some sense of superiority in the master class who thinks that they can torture and put the entrance into some kind of initiation and just beat the crap out of them. They think that this is fun. What in our psyche allows us to allow this to happen? I mean, all of this misuse of power has to stop.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. This is Jackie. So when you were telling your story, Tracy, about sitting in a chair when you were up for the job and they were circling around and pulling on your skirt and all of that, I like, stuff came back to me. I'm like, well, I used to work as a Playboy bunny, you know, for Hugh Hefner in New York Club, and we had to get weighed in every Monday. And, you know, if a girl gained, I mean, I never had a weight problem because I was very young and thin, but if a girl had a weight problem, you got suspended until you lost your weight. You know, you had to stay at your, so when I stopped to think about it, you know, maybe there was stuff over the years. I mean, I had a producer on General Hospital, a woman, Jill Phelps, who came in one day and cut a whole scene and in front of like 300 people on our set said, our audience doesn't want to see old people kissing, so cut the kiss.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then we all had to take at Disney a bullying, you know, course of sexual harassment and blah, 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 all that stuff where they make you take those courses with the big companies, sit there for 2 hours while the attorney flew in from New York to explain what's allowed and what's not allowed. And I realized, oh, my God, if they had that course at that time, that would not have been okay. But
right.
At the time, I was like, okay, cut the kiss, moving on, next scene, 5, 4, 3, 2, want to keep going. So I think, you know, it's like, yeah, some stuff over the years, it is good what's going on now, because things that I think we all let slide at one point, we're not going to let slide anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I have a question. This is Kak again. This is to Tracy. Tracy, you are raising a teenage boy.
Yeah, I know. I've been thinking about this while this is all going on.
And how do you as a mother address this Me Too movement? I mean, I've known you for decades and decades. I was there when Jack was born. So, but I'd like to hear how you consciously make decisions.
Well, so this is Tracy. It's disconcerting, I will tell you. It's very, we have to be very careful, because I do have this living, breathing male in my house. He is built differently than me. He's actually built differently than my husband. His testosterone is going. Now, my husband says he was similar to him when at that age, because I have a teenager. But it's different, and I'm sensitive also, and I've talked to my other friends who have sons. I am 100% supportive of a Me Too, and in when I say that, I mean not the catchphrase, but I don't want women being mistreated at all.
Mm-hmm.
But there are crazies.
Yeah.
And
yeah, absolutely. There's
I know
a shadow what, in
and
there.
I know there is a shadow, and the shadow is out there as well. And I have actually seen the shadow at play in high schools, of course, because we have estrogen in this pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one comment can derail a person's future. And when you have a teenager, you're very aware of that. So we are constantly, nobody was saying this to my husband when he was this age, that, you know, you can't do this, you can't say that, you need to be very careful about this and that. I've actually said to him, I may hire an attorney so you understand before you go to college when it comes to sex what you can and can't do. Mm-hmm. That is quite a moment for a mother to realize mm-hmm. that I want him to hear it from somebody else, not me, but somebody who maybe would try cases. I want that. So that's an awakening. And because Hadley and I both Hadley is more, has been doing this longer than me and has amazing gifts in astrology. I hesitate even to be talking about it, but it is also, I have my own little angle in astrology. I was born in astrology with everybody doing it for, 100 years in mm-hmm. that family. So that's how I kind of got there that way. And it was always around me. And then I, educated myself going forward. But we are in cycles right now, and there are major cycles. And Hadley mentioned it with Pluto and Capricorn. We're halfway through there. And I just, because all of us are Americans, it's important to note that Pluto is a very slow-moving planet. So you don't have a Pluto return, which means Pluto's back to where it was when you were born. Mm-hmm. You have a Saturn return as a human, but you're not going to, if you live long enough, you'll have two, maybe three. You'll never live long enough to have a Pluto return because it's around 300 years. And in the United States, Pluto was at a certain degree in a Capricorn in 1776. We, all of us, are witnesses to Pluto returning to where it was at the time of the United States founding of July 4th. Yep. That will happen in 2022. It'll happen three times in 2022. It's immaterial about it all going down in 2022 because the run-up is going to be intense. And I'm sure Hadley is probably on the same page with me. We are at the appetizer section right now. We're not in that first round. We are not at... We have not had soup served to us. We have not had salad. We are in the hallway outside with the passing hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah.
And I will say that the Me Too, and Hadley, you maybe have already thought about this, the Me Too, which happened when Jupiter went into Scorpio, right about the time when, I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Harvey Weinstein?
Harvey, yeah, Harvey happened right at the Jupiter move into Scorpio, and he mm-hmm. and by the way, wasn't he a perfect embodiment of big old Jupiter moving into lecherous Scorpio? This is, and I'm talking really in negative, I'm using cartoony words, but in this case, it fits.
Yes,
but
it does.
That that activated in the fall, and for the record, we're talking about Hollywood because we're all Hollywood. I'm talking, and I know you guys are all bumping into other people per se, but when you talk about people who are in the education business, as what Hadley just explained, this is everywhere. Medical, apparently, it's hideous.
Uh-huh.
I'm hearing from so many different people like, oh, you think it's bad there. We just happen to be Hollywood, so we have TMZ all over our ass, so it's exposed easy. But back to what happened when Jupiter went into Scorpio. That activated it. Let's say that a switch went off. But, Hadley, I think you will agree with me that when Chiron went into Aries in April, we're in a whole new level because the warriors are being activated. And any wounds that people have about being a warrior, any shame they have about being a warrior, any feelings that I'm not good enough to be a warrior, also talking about Pluto in Capricorn, we're only halfway there. I'm not good enough to be a leader. I'm not good enough to say my opinion. I'm not good enough to manage other humans. All of that less than thinking is up, and it's not working. It's not working. People who are feeling less than are not working.
Okay, let me ask a
question. So when does the shift come?
We're in the middle of this, but where does Donald Trump fit into this astrologically? I get spiritually that this is about change, and we're going to go a little bit to the shadow, a lot to the shadow side to affect change moving forward. But where does Donald Trump fit into all of this?
Hadley, do you want to take it, or we can both, or anybody can?
You
take
can both.
It,
both
you
both talk, points of view.
Do you want to talk? I mean, we both have an astrology point of view. Do you want to do that?
Whatever point of view you want to share.
Well, this is Hadley.
I'll just,
Go ahead, Tracy.
All right, let me just say, I've been thinking a lot about this, as all of us have, I know, but I feel that, see, Pluto went into Capricorn, and let me just make it, we'll get out of the astrology part. If I just tell you this, it went into Capricorn in 2008. Now, everybody knows what happened to the economy in 2008. That was, like, not an accident. That is called, all astrologers knew we were heading in that direction. Everybody understood it. It went in, and so we had two things we happened. We had the economy crash, and we had Barack Obama become president. And if you want to see people's fears go up, well, you just hit two of them, two major ones. So all these switches went off. And these are switches of fear on a level that can't – well, it happened. The other level of switches of fear happened on September 11th. But then – but at that time, we were in what I call the Pluto and Sag, and it was – everything was a Michael Bay movie moment. And, you know, he does all those big action films where something is exploding. And then we had Katrina, the tsunami. We had one incident after – we had so much nonsense. It was too big. It was so Michael Bay-ish. And then everything went quiet. And we just went when the economy crashed in 08. And then we got Barack Obama. And at that point, in my opinion, was when two things started happening. People were either playing to win or playing not to lose. And playing to win, people said, holy S word. Can I say shit? I don't know
you
if can I
can. Say shit.
Okay, holy shit, why am I in this marriage? Why am I in this relationship? Why am I doing this? This isn't even who I am. You know, I don't care I'm getting phased out of this job. I hated that job. It wasn't real. I don't even want to do that. So people are finding an internal, and they're being brave and going real. Those people we call playing to win. And then there were the playing to lose, like, well, I better stay here because if I go out there and try to get, I better stay in this shit can relationship, whether it's work, a job, a partnership, whatever. I better stay here because if I go out there, I'm going to get my ass fried and I can be safe here. So we had playing to win and playing to lose. And in my opinion, playing to lose and playing to win culminated at the election of Donald Trump. Because I don't want to go in too deep into Hillary. But from my point of view, Hillary was playing not to lose, and technically she didn't. She won the popular vote.
Right.
Donald Trump, however, wasn't playing to win. I actually believe Donald Trump got played, and I think Russia was probably more inclined to play to win because they wanted him in my opinion. But as far as I'm concerned, it culminated there, and now after everybody saw that, now people's I need authenticity switch is on. And in that, we're having all these things come up where we have to address ourselves. And I could talk about social media, but I will in a second. I would rather have Hadley talk. That gives you my feeling.
Okay. Hadley?
This is Hadley. Tracy, that was I absolutely concur with everything you said. It was very, very wonderfully, succinctly put. And there's an additional backdrop here astrologically, in that what probably many people who tune into astrology at all heard about from between 2012 and 2015, riding in on what Tracy is talking about after 2008, we had these two large planets, Uranus in Aries squaring Pluto in Capricorn. And there were seven squares that went back and forth. So with 3 years, during Obama's time, there were these very, very dynamic energies taking place. Now, to synopsize what was going on, because I saw this showing up in individual charts, and it was also showing up in our, collective psyche, Pluto in Capricorn was asking and is asking, what do you not want to face or admit? Especially in terms of what still holds a sense of shame or rage or despair or desolation in your life. You know, where do you feel there's a crisis. I mean, what Tracy was just saying, a crisis in terms of you're losing your grip, you're losing control, you're losing your grip on things. So the question that emerges, questions that emerge out of that feeling or out of those archetype being activated is, what do you no longer need to defend? That's that leads to the authenticity. What do you no longer need to defend? And what's the price tag on what you've been enduring? That's the setup for the Me Too movement. You're paying a price for enduring this. Like, the Me Too movement didn't just spring out of, you know, whole cloth suddenly one moment. First of all, there's one back in 2006 that got it going that had that expression. I just lost her name.
I can't think of it either, but keep going. It'll come to one of us. We'll interrupt
you. It'll come to one of us. You know, so the question, these are questions, and I was offering these questions to clients. You know, what's the price tag on what you've been successfully enduring, and why have you endured it? Not, you know, what's the matter with you that you've been enduring it, but why have you been enduring it? Is it to survive? Is it to, as Tracy said, you know, to just not lose? What's that all about? Now, that's the one energy that is operating in the collective psyche. Then the other energy that is in a challenging relationship with that is saying, where do you have to think freshly about who you are, what you truly need, what you truly want? You know, and as opposed to what do you no longer need to defend, what must you defend at all costs? And what is that for you? Not me, not 60 other people. It's what in your authentic self, what do you have to defend at all costs? This is who I am. This is what I do. This is what I know. Now, what we ended up with and are still dealing with here is that on the shadow side, what you get with Aries is a kind of rage. We've seen plenty of that. We're seeing plenty of that. And then on the shadow side with Capricorn, you get a kind of self-righteousness. When you put rage and self-righteousness together, you have a very dangerous combination here.
This is Kak. I just want to add, this is very Shakespearean as well. This is Act 2 of the hero's journey. This is what all the plays, this is what all the masterpieces are about, is when you face yourself and decide, what am I willing to put up with and what do I want to fight for? This is the fulcrum, the pivotal moment. We're in it.
We're in it.
You feel it. It's like anybody who's ever gone through a divorce, you know, it's the same feeling. That day when you just look and go, okay, I need to make a decision here and it's time. Either I'm in or I'm out, you know, boom.
Right.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say that in 2006 with the Me Too, it was Tarana Burke. She was a black woman that movement. So keep going now. I just wanted to get that in.
Well, so when we just to kind of condense, in the ideal world, in the best of all outcomes here, which it's hard to see right now where this is exactly going to go, but when we put this Uranus-Pluto square together and what it set in motion is it says to us that when we face our woundedness, the trauma, the history, and again, when we talk about history, we're not talking about 50 years. We're talking about thousands of years, really. We have to think in those terms on some level and not get overwhelmed. But facing our woundedness, facing the trauma, ideally can lead us to liberation and individuation. Sudden changes can reveal underlying issues. Bold moves, Uranus, can lead to empowerment and insight. And then, you know, also on a deep inner level, when we do good, deep inner work, when we dig down, we can trigger synchronicities and that kind of magic that's not, you know, cliche magic, but real, wow, look at what just lined up here. Mm-hmm. And when we're dealing with these large global issues, which we certainly are, it's hard to see results of anything for a long time. So despair fills in the gap. And that's where we're tempted to go, because somebody like Goebbels back in, you know, World War II would have loved that. And so when we look at Donald Trump, it's very hard for me, because I sure get riled up like everybody else. He's an avatar. I don't know if he is. I'm just putting him in that place. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. To preserve my own sanity, of being an avatar for us to look at this stuff. Now, we get his germophobia. We have his constant, well, malignant narcissism is a given here. You've heard that term enough.
Yeah.
And that's just a given. He clicks off everything in the DSM-5 and is probably making up some of his own as we go along. And so what he's got in his chart, first of all, it's an extremely self-oriented chart. But when you put his chart with the United States chart, which Tracy was talking about, the matchup is truly horrifying.
This marriage is not good.
The problem is it is a marriage, and he does that thing that sociopaths do, which they go right in, they find your weak point. I don't like the word weak. They find your vulnerable point. They manipulate, they maneuver. They know exactly where to fake empathy, where exactly the thing that you're not owning about yourself is sitting right in there, and they capitalize on that. Now, when you look at his chart, the way it's structured, his own demons are utterly, and which is the case with narcissism, you know, God forbid you see my demons or my vulnerabilities, his own demons then get projected onto the entire world. And once I kill off all my enemies, once I eliminate all my enemies, I will feel better, except I won't. You can't, because it's projection. So we're getting this massive projection, and this person that's capitalizing on massive trauma of so many people who follow him. I would like to know, and we will never have a study of this, how many people that are absolutely devoted to this man were abused and traumatized as kids.
It's interesting you bring that up, but the one thing that bothered me, and being an intuitive, you know, back in the elections, I actually had a kid who's in politics, and he was like, "Mom, don't worry, Trump's not going to win." And I'm like, "Yes, he is." I was the only psychic, I think, that said, you know, "Yes, he is." But when you go back and you take a look at Trump, I mean, the people that follow him, it seems to be a certain class, basically white folks, okay, a few blacks scattered in, a few, you know, Latinos scattered in, but basically white. What are they so freaking afraid of? Because you get the middle America, you get the South, and it's like, you know, I even have a neighbor here, and she's lived in the area forever. And, you know, we walk the dogs, we talk, and when the elections came up, she goes, "Oh, I'm a Trumper." And I'm like, "Oh, my goodness." And then she started talking about the Afghani who lives next door to me as being a terrorist. And she doesn't even know the person. So how do you, how does this happen?
Well, Monique, literally, white people are afraid of the dark.
Right.
The dark.
Well, they didn't mind enslaving us.
Exactly. No. But I'm if they're afraid of the how better to deal with the fear than enslave.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit too literal, but there's something about it that the dark is feminine, it's mysterious, it's the soil, it's what things grow from. It's all the unconscious. We have all these symbols that are attached to the dark, and then here are people that whose skin is another color. I was married to a man with dark skin for 12 years, and my Joe McCarthy Republican mother took one look at him. She knew nothing about him. She took one look at him the first moment she met him. Could hardly bring herself to talk to him at the airport when she picked us up. I was engaged to marry him. Mm-hmm. And when we got to her house and he went off to wash his hands, she looked at me and she said, "He's very dark. What is he?" I couldn't figure out what, okay, give her the right answer, please. Give her the right answer right now. And I said, "Oh, he's a Puerto Rican and Italian." And she said, "We can't have that in the family." And I said, "What family? It's you and me and grandmother and Aunt Evelyn. No one's ever heard of us." Mm-hmm. You know, it was the most ridiculous statement, but it spoke to there was this presence in her life that she couldn't even explain. The fact that the man spoke four languages, was an artist, was a really interesting, good person, never crossed her mind.
Oh, that if he was Caucasian, it would have been wonderful to have him in the family, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, pure,
absolutely.
You know, lighter Caucasian. Well, you know, that brings up a remembrance of mine. I grew up in a town outside of Albany, New York, Guildeland, New York, and Guildeland was a very affluent bedroom community. At the time that I graduated from high school, there was 1,800 about in our high school graduation class because, you know, Guildeland was only high school. And within that, there were three blacks, me, a friend of mine, Rosalyn, and another friend, Gary, who has now passed on. So we had a very interesting life back in the 70s, the early 70s. But in elementary school, I made one friend because it wasn't cool to be the black girl's friend, and I went to her house, and, you know, I was invited over and everything. And when I got there, her mother said to her, "Why didn't you tell me Monique was black?" And Sue said, "Well, I didn't notice."
But there's something sweet in that.
It didn't come across.
No,
so
not
sweet.
Her.
Uh-huh.
No, but I'm saying
I don't think
her,
it was sweet.
I still have a young kid. So, but she didn't. Did she do it because she was afraid, or was it because she had already bonded with you in such a way that she didn't? It's not didn't see the blackness, but it wasn't the first thing she wanted to announce.
It wasn't the first thing that she looked at. However, she also had just moved to the area, and I learned early on in school, get the newbies, okay, before a chance to make friends. So, you know, I would go over to her house all the time. She was never allowed to come to my house. We had a 14-room house sitting on 14 acres. My father had something about 14s. And it was a very nice house. It was nicer than her house, but she was never allowed to come to my house.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting. And I did kind of the same thing with my kids in Mission San Jose area in Fremont, California, high-rated school, heavily Asian, very few blacks. And, you know, they went through the same thing I did of being rejected. Nobody wanted to be their friends. Nobody wanted to hang out with them. So I said, okay, it'll get better when you get older. So my oldest son, he goes out and he gets a girlfriend. And I'm like, yay, I'm so happy. You know, he's got a girlfriend, right? Beautiful Indian girl. She's a Sikh. Beautiful Indian girl. Her mother saw a picture of her daughter and my son, who has a master's degree and an exceptional job in politics, together on Facebook. She told the daughter to break up with my son because how dare she communicate and be with the N-word because he was good.
No.
Now, this woman, this Indian woman, didn't talk to my son. She would even meet him. If she had met him and came to that conclusion, I would be cool. But since she didn't meet him, because that would be her opinion after meeting him, but she had never met him, and to this day, they're still hiding their relationship. Because mama doesn't want to, you know, allow it to happen in her eyes. And that just irks me. You know, it just irks me. How
so
what is the society be there?
Exactly. And
well,
so
first
that's
of all,
what's
can
having
I just
to
say,
be. Sorry,
it's Tracy. Can I just say, they won't be hiding this for very much longer. I promise you. Which leads me to say this, the velocity has sped up. I don't need to explain that to anybody on this phone. We all know the velocity is sped up, which goes back to social media. And I feel, and I've been processing this a lot lately, I think that a lot of people take the era that we're in right now and they compare it to 1968. And a lot of historians, I've heard John Meacham a lot talk about it, and he's quite sanguine about it. Or you'll hear someone like a political pundit like George Will, who happens to be conservative. Oh, well, America's been in worse shape. You know what? I need to just stop that. In my opinion, I just think it's bullshit because it's different now because of social media. So
yes.
If you want to, just imagine this. If there had been Twitter during segregation, during lynchings, if there had been Twitter and Instagram during what happened in Germany in the 30s, or the pogroms in Russia, it would be completely different because this is completely metaphysical. The energy when you have that many people observing something and making a judgment. And the judgment is, I believe this. Am I getting into this or not? Oh, I don't have the time, or I can't do it. I don't have the time or energy. This isn't a judgment from me. I'm just saying they're having a way in. That is a consciousness. That is something happening on souls all over this world. Who doesn't know what's going on the border of Mexico and the United States right now? Who doesn't know?
People who watch Fox News don't know.
Fox News, seriously, I
check all types of news media, and I, you know, tune into Fox, and there's something horrific going on at the border, and they're talking about, you know, something completely different. It would be as if nothing is happening at the border at all.
Okay, well, so they cater to their 30%, but everybody, here's what I've observed, and this is going back to Chiron and Aries, and it's going to be there until 2027. And it just got into Aries. The warrior, Chiron the wounded warrior, wounded healer, got put into Aries, the warrior sign, in April. We have just started. So those people who are watching their Fox News and pretending this isn't really happening, and I don't know what they're telling themselves, first of all, they're pretty white, and they're pretty old. They're going to keep dying off every year. So that's that. At the same time, all of these light switches are going on at a fast pace right now. It's going on, and people are going to have to decide. They cannot sit back and not do anything. And I don't think we will just continue to have these happening until more switches go on. They're already starting to have some of the Christians who were holding their nose with Donald Trump. They started peeling away over in the last week because of what happened, last 2 weeks. Some of them have started to break off. We are in a dynamic stage right now, and we can't predict where it's going, but I will tell you, switches are going off. That's my feeling. And Jackie, I'm sure you know the power of social media in more ways than any of us on the phone, because I'm sure you have your followers. I'm sure you could tweet one thing and see how it ripples through, I would guess, or Instagram. I'm assuming you're on social media, are you?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have like gazillions of followers like a movie star does or a political person, but yes, I do have, you know, followers, and I use it. I don't, you know, like change.org, animal welfare. So I don't get onto political arenas because when I do publicity, I don't want that conversation. You know what I mean?
Right.
Sure,
but,
of course.
But
of course.
I do get into like a lot of animal protection and animal causes and kids, you know, kids where we can make a change by contributing something to the world. So those are more my causes. But yeah, I see how people, when you're right about the awareness of, and yes, if we'd had Twitter and Instagram in those days, you know, the internet, computers, to be able to go online.
Sure.
You know, you think about what when we had to write a book report, you know, you go to the library, and we got lucky. We had one set of encyclopedias in our house. You go to the library, and you get a different set, and that was it. You got five paragraphs of information to write your report on when you were in eighth grade, you know.
Right.
I remember
those
days.
What happened now.
I do, too. This is Hadley. Pursuant to what Monique was saying, though, about Fox News, keeping in mind always the shadow here, like how do we balance shadow and light over and over and over again, and keep in mind that one stirs up the other, because I think that's the point that we're at, maybe have always been at down through history, but we're more aware of it also because of social media. So there's a wonderful historian and political theorist named Timothy Snyder, whose work, when you find him online, or he's written several books, I highly recommend his work. He's a very clear thinker. He has a very, very wonderful perspective. And his little book called On Tyranny, 20 Lessons from the 20th Century, is just, I wish Jeff Bezos would take his billions of dollars and give a free copy of that book to everybody in the country, because it's such a valuable book right now at our time in history. I just want to put that on the recording so that people can think about that book. I'd be happy to see Timothy Snyder sell a lot of books there. But what we're looking at in Fox News is it's the Joseph Goebbels you know, effect from World War II with Hitler is, you know, because Goebbels said, make the lie big enough, keep it simple, keep saying it, and eventually people will believe it. So there's all this cherry picking here. Keep it simple, cherry pick, conspiracy theories, you know, like, oh, the hordes are coming across the border. I mean, you would think that, you know, 4 million people a day are coming across the border. Here,
well, this is CAC, and I have to say, yes. See, I see this whole Donald Trump business as being P.T. Barnum. I think he's creating a circus, and if you don't like what's happening in the center ring, look over to the ring to this side. And
sure.
He does sleight of hand. If the Russia probe gets too hot, he'll bring something else out of his magic box. And he keeps doing that, and we love to be entertained. America is hooked, addicted to entertainment. And so where do we go? We go to the movies for our fantasies and to be scared. We go to theme parks to be terrified on those high rides, but at home we're wimps, and we don't stand up to this. We just go ahead and say, oh, okay, and our heads turn like in a tennis match, bing, 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 between his rings, and then Russia will step in and do something clever, and he'll react, and all we're doing is watching this reactive business. A few people are stepping forward, and those are the people that are going to lead us into this truth, and I agree with also the statement Tracy made. It's going to take masses. We're going to have to all wake up, switch on our light bulbs, and get serious. Now, the spring revolution that happened in Egypt only lasted a little while because the military came back in, quashed it, and everybody went back into their caves. We have to be willing to give up our caves, I think. I'm not there yet, personally. I don't want to go out and march in the streets and, you know, get tossed in jail or you know, pepper sprayed. I'm not that brave, but I will do what I can to keep bringing people to understand this is a play, this is a game. Be aware of that, understand that it's a play and it's a game, and grip reality as tight as you can.
Okay, but CAC, how does... going back to the white Americans supporting Trump, how do you reach those people? I mean, I'm not, you know, preaching to them per se, but when are they going to wake up? Because it seems like they're so steeped in this darkness and so steeped into old history that they don't want anything new.
Okay, because they've been raised on fear. Our entire society is raised on fear. I go back to General Hospital when I was producing it for a while and Jackie was on the show, and the creators, the head story writers, came up with this story. And this is in 1985. Oh, dear, a white doctor is going to date a black doctor. Oh, my God, that's going to shock the universe. And there were some of us on the show that looked at each other and said, hello, this is 1984. This is like old news. And yet, here's my learning curve. It wasn't for the American audience. There was feedback. There was negative stuff. How can you put that on the air? I've always been a fan of the show. And now you're mixing races. What's the matter with you? So I got a wake-up call that America, middle America perhaps, or parts of America, maybe it's red America, is not ready to be that open. So how do we do it is your question? Television, media, constantly bringing this up, because we have to brainwash these people who don't understand this. We have to brainwash them into the positive, brainwash them into the light, if that's what it takes, so that they can open their heart without fear. All the advertising that we have been raised with is based on fear, greed, sex, the things that appeal to the human being. And when we go back to what we've been fed, it's a violence sandwich. So that's where we have to go and into ourselves and examine what we've been taught and separate the stuff that's theatrical from the reality.
Okay. Well, I think that's very true.
Yeah. No, I just think that's a really good point, Kat, and I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Monique, this is Tracy. You don't know what goes on for white families since Donald Trump at Thanksgiving. It's like
I do know. I do know. I do know.
It's
actually
bad. They're not going to people's houses anymore. They're we're going on vacation.
Yeah.
So this is moving. This is a moving story. This is developing. It's an evolution, and that's what Pluto does. It makes us evolve. Mm-hmm. It's not easy, and like I said, we're at the beginning. We're not even at the middle.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I'm not into astrology. I shared that with you ladies earlier because it kind of gives me a headache, but I love, hearing about it. However, I did look up online. No, I just can't do it. The mind just doesn't go there, but that's okay. I do other things. So I went online and I looked up Nostradamus, and I was reading, some of the things that he wrote, and he wrote about trumpet in our time frame, and how this trumpet would come to lead Byzantium, because I don't think he thought America existed at that time, and how this trumpet would be insane. He hid his insanity to lead the nation. However, the same trumpet would fall, and when he fell, he would be betrayed, and there would be blood coming from his mouth. Now, to me, that said, yes, the trumpet is Donald Trump, and yes, he's crazy. I mean, we all knew that. And their fall is coming, and I don't necessarily see it as a physical fall where he will, be killed or anything like that, God forbid, because then we'd have Pence, which is worse. But
lives on cheeseburgers.
Huh?
I said Trump lives on cheeseburgers. That's going to be his fall.
Okay. Well, it'll be interesting.
Is that
see.
True?
Yeah. Well, he does.
Yes, it is true. Yes.
He does live on cheeseburgers, funny. Cheeseburgers and Kentucky Fried, from what I hear. So, but yet he's the healthiest president there ever was, according to
him. According to him.
Well, that his physician, the White House physician, said he was the healthiest president that there ever was. And it's like, people, when do you stop buying the bullshit? What part of a statement like that do you really think is true? We've lost our ability to think. And talking about our ability to think, I would like to talk for a moment about Mr. Trump's wife, Melania, and her wonderful trip down to the border to see the children, and her wearing the I really don't care, do you jacket? Now, this jacket was designed by Zara. Zara has also designed in 2007 a swastika handbag. She's also has sweatshops down in Brazil, in Sao Paulo. She also, in 2014, came up with a Holocaust prisoner shirt. I mean, hello? Do people have to wonder what that message was if you go back into the history of who made the jacket? And then you wonder about Melania's intent? I don't understand why people don't get it. Or maybe I'm wrong. So please chime in, ladies. You all got quiet.
No, I think, hi, it's Tracy again. I think people got it. But I also think we talk about the, as Kat calls them, the P.T. Barnum effect. And people get it. We didn't take the bait too much on that jacket, if you notice. The images of the moms trying to find their kids is greater than that little magic trick. Because I felt like it was a magic trick.
Yes.
And I will say this, and I'm going to say this with the caveat, that I'm not saying this from a conspiracy theory, because I'm really not. I'm saying this, I think, more as an a questioning. Mm-hmm. But Senator Merkley, from Oregon, was the inciting incident for all of the stories that came out of Mexico. He showed up down there with a camera crew. What was happening was horrible and terrible. And it needed to be told. I always question timing. And I feel that the media gets played and gets used by other powers at B. Mm-hmm. And while all of this is going on down on the border, I just fought a battle here in California about net neutrality. Mm-hmm. And it was ugly. And it's not over, but that was a Time Warner and AT&T were critical to this whole thing. And nobody was paying attention to it. Mm-hmm. And Scott Pruitt has been doing hideous stuff in the last 10 days, and no one's paying attention to it. And Wilbur Ross has been doing hideous stuff in the last 10 days, and no one's paying attention to it, which makes me go back to the inciting incident. It wouldn't take much to get a politician who is inquisitive and would like to know, get influenced. Well, why don't you go down here and let's take a look, and I'll bring a camera. And then the shitstorm starts, and now we can go do some stuff. And Merkley was not on any panels. He wasn't on any committees. And I'm saying this not to beat him up. Don't hear that in what I'm saying at all. I just wonder about the timing. And that it speaks to me about Melania. I think she did that. I think she's lame on many levels. I think it's all Marie Antoinette to me. I get it. I think we all feel it. But we didn't take the bait that much because this was too big. But then I'm still thinking, but look at the shit they're doing while this big thing is happening.
Yeah, well, a whole lot of shit is happening behind the scenes that we're not aware of because we're paying attention to the border, which we should, and we're paying attention to other things, and it's all this great, big, wonderful distraction. But what really gets me is with Melania is she comes out and she does this. She's a freaking immigrant herself, and maybe she's legal, maybe she's not, who knows. And then, you know, you got the Stormy Daniels thing where her husband was screwing another woman right before or after her child was born. How can you support something so hideous as this, I'm going to call it racism, and then still, you know, I just don't understand. How could she support him?
Money. Well, you know, Hillary and Bill, you know, you can't go there. What happens in people's relationships? You kind of got to, I feel, just step away from that because every marriage is what it is, you know. And yes, it speaks to character, but what people agree in a relationship and are willing to accept and live with, we can't go there. It's really, you know.
Well, I think so, Jackie. And I think Hadley, this is Kak again, I think Hadley put it earlier, there is always a price to be paid for something. It all has to do with coin of the realm. What are you willing to sacrifice for money, prestige, power, you know, name it, whatever
power.
Your money is.
Or your marriage, or the father of your children, or whatever your reason, you know.
Exactly. And so you go along with things. Now, will she pay a karmic price for her behavior? Oh, yeah. Well, and Monique, let's ask you the question. What do you foresee for her?
I see that she's going to stick it out. Well, when I was looking at the whole thing from the beginning, when Trump got elected, when he was, you know, declared the winner, I feel that she was very upset. I feel that she really didn't want this. She didn't want any part of it. I actually think at that point in time, she was looking to exit the marriage and move on. But now that she's First Lady, she can't do that. And if you go back and pay attention to the inauguration and the swearing-in ceremony, she's crying. But she's not crying tears of happiness, okay? She's like, what the fuck do I do now? That type of cry, okay? So I feel that she will just stay with him until this is done, and then she will find her way secretly to, you know, leave the situation and move on. But she is going to have a very hard life, and I don't care about the money that she has right now. She's going to have a very hard life, and I pray, and people say don't bring this up, but I'm going to, I pray for her son. Because visions of the mother are visited upon, okay, and I pray for the son because there's going to be, you know, issues. I see issues coming up with this poor kid and, you know, things that he don't deserve. But, you know, that's just the way it is. You know, Chelsea Clinton came out, I guess, kind of okay based on what her parents supposedly did or didn't do. So we'll have to see. But I am just not.
But Chelsea didn't have those hideous siblings that he does.
Yeah, that's a good word for it. You're being very nice and polite because I have another. Beavis and Butthead and anyway.
Monique, this is Hadley. Can I make I'd like to make an observation.
Oh, please.
Put into the conversation about system. My background in my clinical training is in systems theory applied to families and group dynamics. And so one of the things in families that I say to therapy clients very often, and I just taught a webinar in 2015 to students in China and looking at family systems in Australia, et cetera, et cetera. So it would like on a worldwide, you know, on a wide human systems basis, in families, in groups, nobody sits you down and tells you the rules. When we're looking at how Stormy Daniels, Melania, Hillary Clinton, Sarah Sanders, Kellyanne Conway, how these women tolerate bad behavior and have a story for themselves about the reasons for that. One of the, when we look, and we will never know what in their families actually took place. We have stories, we have some history, we have some ideas, but families have various rules. We all know what the rules in our families are, even though no one sat us down necessarily and said, here are our rules. But one of the ways to condense it is, in every family, here's what we see, here's what we don't see, and here's what we call it.
Okay.
And we all know, I've worked a lot in addictive family systems, and so dad or mom is passed out on the floor again tonight because, let's say, he is tired, you know, had a hard day at work. And so we're not going to disturb him because you know how upset he gets when he's disturbed. And everybody learns that rule until somebody says, wait a minute, you know, he just downed a half a quart of vodka and calls it out. So there's a conditioning there in human systems that in order to survive, in order to be embraced by, taken care of by the system that you're in, here's what you see, here's what you don't see, and here's what you agree to call it. Mm-hmm. So I think that we're looking at a kind of collusion in that. It's like not that somebody's to blame for that. It's that it's in there somewhere. And so anything familiar, like this feels familiar. Like, why did you just marry your fourth alcoholic husband?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, he's not really alcoholic. He's been in recovery for 2 weeks. But because there's an attempt to heal something now that I'm an adult, except you end up with the same kind of person with whom the original dynamics took place. This is to Tracy's point about Chiron and Aries. The same wound is there. And if you could have worked it out initially, you would have worked it out with that person, but you can't work it out because that kind of person isn't amenable to it. So there's I hope I'm making myself somewhat clear here.
No, right.
There's a familiarity with an energy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And whether it's positive or negative, that's our evaluation of it. The familiarity is comforting, and it has a structure to it. And I know this game. And I've worked with clients over the years who, you know, have maybe lost a lot of weight or really revamped themselves in some major way. I mean, some real major identity shift. That's one of the purposes of therapy. And then they get to a point where, oh, God, I am there. And kaboom, wait a minute. I don't know who or how this is going to be. I don't know how to do this. And there's then some regression or decompensating, you know, and we have to catch it and come back to it. So if we take Melania Trump, she's, I don't want to, you know, lump all Eastern European countries in one big pot, but there's a familiarity with oppression.
Uh-huh.
There. And so, and dictatorship. So, hello.
Yeah, so therefore she loves the Donald.
Yeah, and he was a way out. And from what little I know of their, you know, supposed history, he, you know, courted her parents and did his whole con artist, like what Kak is talking about, it's the shell game. Look over here. And he did his whole wonderful thing about, you know, how he's going to take care of her and everything. And her parents said, oh, yes, God bless. And it's, you know, so all these factors are in there. And there's some way of looking at how does someone overlook something in order to get to this other place. Yeah, he's an alcoholic. Or, yeah, you know, he hits me once in a while, but... But he's really a good guy, and he doesn't really mean it. You know, we know those dynamics. And we're just finally awakening up to them.
Okay,
that's
well,
why rebound
ask...
relationships are so sad.
Yeah.
They'll say it's not safe. Yeah. Don't go into a rebound. You know, you've been married for 20 years, you get a divorce, or 30 years, you get a divorce. Well, first one you meet, probably not the one you should marry next.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But along the same line, let me ask about Sarah Sanders and Kellyanne Conway. They're both moms. Mm-hmm. Sarah has 3 kids. Kellyanne has 2 kids. I was taught when I was a kid that was bad to lie. Now, everybody lies, but I was taught, you know, to a degree, but I was taught that was bad to lie and it's best to tell the truth, okay? And I instilled that within my kids. We've got Sarah Sanders on TV lying every freaking day blatantly, and she has 3 kids. So how can she justify going home to tell them to tell the truth when she's, you know, assistant liar in chief to the public every day? I just don't understand.
Okay, Tracy here. I've thought about both of them quite a bit. And if you do a little research on either one of them, I mean, Sarah, you sort of know more about because of her father, because uh-huh. of Mike Huckabee. Uh-huh. I don't know what lies one tells one another. What hypocrisy goes on in his household, but I think she's pretty familiar with it and pretty comfortable with it. I don't know, when I heard the story about her brother killing a dog and the lies that they talk about that and how they defended it when he was a teenager, I said, oh yeah, this is the president you need to be in. She knows how to tell a lie. Okay. And then when I looked up Kellyanne Conway,
can you say the story about the dog? I didn't hear that story.
Her brother killed a dog, and you can do a little poking around.
Some people
say I was doing something good for the world because the dog was rabies or had mange or something.
No,
but more. But then you hear the other angle is it was fun and he used his gun and he had pleasure doing it. So, I don't think he was doing something.
Any reason doesn't matter. Yeah, that's
horrible. So she's got a long history protecting. Uh-huh. She knows how to do that. Kellyanne, when I started poking around, well, Kath, I don't know if you've looked at her bio. It sounds to me like she had a mobster father. He's in the cement business in New Jersey. What are we or? Something similar to that? I'm like, okay.
I know a lot of those people.
That brought up all kinds of visuals.
I just had to read that one line. Okay, I'm out. I got it. So it's what Hadley said. That's their systems. They're comfortable. And they're going to keep doing this. I do think it's strange that Kellyanne's husband comes out on Twitter and kind of tries to fight the fight against Trump, which is like, oh, I guess he's not digging it. But I don't know. I'm marginalizing them in my brain. I have been for quite some time. And they're part of the circus.
Well, it's just, you know, upsetting for a young child to sit and watch it and then to hear the adults later on discussing lies, but this person is up there every day. And, you know, it's just a bit disconcerting, but I guess this is part of what we got to go through to get to a new change. But what about the Homeland Security Secretary, Kirstjen Nielsen? Now, she has no kids, but she is very happy to put all those little babies down there in the border in cages like they're dogs.
This is Kat. Can I just jump in and say one thing about Kellyanne Conway before we move on?
Uh-huh.
Kellyanne Conway, going back to Hadley's family systems, and Tracy's point too, she had a cousin, a male cousin that was bullied in high school. And Conway stood up to the football team and said, "Do not mess with my brother." And so they stopped. So mm-hmm. Kelly stands up for and defends who the person that she believes in or that she's hired to believe in. She has it in her DNA. That's what she does. She's like the pit bull and lipstick image, you know, that's who she is. And the better the fight, the tougher the bone,
the stronger she is.
Stronger she is, and the harder she fights. So I think that was an interesting thing that I learned about her. She defended her cousin in high school. A little bit of a thing that she is. So anyway, yes, and back to your real question.
Well, I was just talking about, Ms. Nielsen down there with the Homeland Security Secretary and all the kids down there at the border. It's like they're throwaway pieces of paper as opposed to a living spirit. And then these people say that they're Christian, but how is it Christian to put kids in cages?
But isn't it interesting, because this has only come up, and it started with her, how people booed her in a restaurant, and then how Sarah got pushed back. I'm telling you, switches are on. Sarah got killed by the owner apparently of that restaurant, the Red Robin, I don't know what it was,
the Red Hen.
And then she did a quick poll of all the waiters and said, should I kick her out? And they all said yes, and she did. And, talk about Pluto and Capricorn, Hadley. That's a great risk because she's a business owner.
Yes. Yeah, oh, you bet.
And
that was
you and I know astrologers who won't even weigh in on Donald Trump because they're afraid of losing conservative clients. And I'm like, you guys are nuts. I don't even know how that works in your brain. But but that has only happened in the last 10 days. Something is going on.
Well, it's changing. I mean, I've been in restaurants, being the color that I am. I have gone to restaurants where they don't want to serve me. 15 years ago, we were taking the family driving from California to Seattle for a family reunion, and we stopped in Yreka, not Eureka, but Yreka, California, because, we wanted to eat. And we got in the restaurant, we sat down, and a man came over, and he says, "We don't serve y'all kind in here." So we got up and we left.
Yeah, but you were experiencing racism. She was experiencing personal. No, we don't want you, and that's personal. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's something different.
Yeah,
nobody in that restaurant knew anything about your family. They know who she is. She put herself out there, and people are not in. People are gunning for her. I don't like using that term because I don't like using the word gunning.
Oh, the NRA will like it. Don't worry.
they'll love it. But, they're done. They're done. There is done factor.
Yeah, I'm glad. And this might be, poor on my part, but I actually cheered. And so I was like, it's about time.
Monique,
you put it out there, it comes back. Yes.
Yes. This is Hadley. And also with someone like Kristen Nielsen, I don't know anything really about her. One of the things I do notice is Trump, has that thing about he wants people, particularly women, but men as well, to look a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
She's a clone, an old mimic of Ivanka, and there are a lot of blondes there, and I'm a blonde, so by artifice of my hairdresser, but it's in there. And so one of the things we don't see, like when I see Kristen Nielsen, what I don't know is she out of trauma in her own life? Because she looks a certain way. We have no idea what anyone's background ever
is,
what they've been through. So is there trauma in there, in her background, that caused her to dissociate? Similar to Kellyanne Conway, the monster father, that kind of thing, that could be in there. Mm-hmm. Or the shadow side here is we tend to because people in my profession fall into this kind of net at times too. We tend not to see women as having psychopathological character or sociopathic, character. And, is that in there? Because that does exist. It's not gender specific.
Uh-huh.
So but dissociation comes from I'm just not here. I'm just following orders. I just carry out. It's a job. It's whatever. We don't know what's under there. But to Tracy's point, yes, something is happening. Something in the collective said we don't approve,
And Hadley, don't you think that this is? I feel we're starting to get our Uranus in Taurus because it's only been in Uranus. It's coming from the roots up. So Uranus, just for you guys, is a planet that takes about 7 years in a sign. When CAC mentioned the Arab Spring, as it's called, that was right when Uranus went into Aries. And now Uranus has moved into Taurus in the last few weeks. and it'll stay here for seven and a half years. The last time, and listen to these dates, the last time Uranus was in Taurus was 1934 to 1941. That's right up to World War II, obviously, and the time before that was the run-up before the Civil War. So here we are again, and Uranus rules innovation, and computers and social media and everything, and our phones and all that, that's Uranus. Mm-hmm. It's starting to something. Uranus and Taurus, I don't even know how it survived in the 30s. Well, it gave us radio, I guess. Or no, it gave us something, radar. It gave us that. But it somehow mustered through in the 1860s or the 1850s, and it somehow got through in the 1930s. But now that we have the World Wide Web, and now that we have Silicon Valley, Uranus and Taurus is like, oh, now I'm playing real time. Now I'm on it. And this is also the rise of artificial intelligence. And nobody wants to talk about the job losses that are going to come from AI.
Right.
Is something very huge that we should be. They started talking about it. I was just at a seminar last weekend, and the speaker was talking about how Elon Musk and Bill Gates last summer said, you guys, I don't think you're paying attention. We should be scared about this. We should be very worried. Because we could lose 2/3 jobs.
Easily.
And that is part of where we're headed. And it's not that I'm, by the way, it's not that I'm negative. I don't want to come off that
way. No, not
at
all. You're speaking truth.
But it's like we have to at least start getting our brain on this. My friend has a kid younger than my son, and she really wanted him to be in a high school where he could learn coding. And there's not a lot of choices in Los Angeles. But then she said to me, but then they're already getting machines that know how to code, so I don't even know why I'm doing this. That little moment of just of a mom talking to me in a coffee shop in L.A., that's going to start happening down the road. People are going to start thinking, they have to think that way. And Hadley, I think these next 7 years are really critical. And I would even say, and Hadley, maybe you've already been thinking about this, is tomorrow Mars will retrograde in Aquarius.
Yep.
And Aquarius is everything I just said about Uranus applies to Aquarius. It's in terms of innovative. It's also our groups and our social circles that we, and our like-minded people, and it's our club and our organizations, and to a certain extent, so is Capricorn, but it's more the people and talking and where are we all on this? Yeah, we're all on that. And Mars is going to retrograde. Everybody on this phone knows how Mercury looks like when it retrogrades. Every 2 years, Mars retrogrades. I had to look really hard to find the last time it did it in Aquarius. The last time it did it in Aquarius was the summer of 1971, and the time before that was the summer of 1939.
Wow.
And
there you go.
Now, so it's going in tomorrow. And so we'll be under this influence all summer, even though it will, because I think, I can't remember the shadow point. I've written all about it on my blog, but I think the shadow point's in October. I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think it is, Tracy. Yeah,
I think it's in October. So really, between now and the fall, we get a seat down front because we're in it. It's not just get a seat. Oh, yeah, I got to get up and get in it. So there's going to be skirmishes everywhere. Everywhere, and this isn't just the United States. This is worldwide. So,
well, and Erdogan just won in Turkey.
Yeah, Erdogan did something. Yeah, and is that why the stock market is tanking? Isn't that OPEC?
Well, partly oil and partly Trump's tariffs. What's it? Harley Davidson just announced this morning that they have to take their business elsewhere, some of their business outside of the country, because other countries just can't afford the pricing.
And the tariffs were part of the Uranus in Taurus as well. So I just have to ask Hadley, don't you think it's interesting how many astrologers are not really talking about the financial ramifications of Uranus and Taurus? What are you guys using? You have a different set of matrix than I. But why are we talking about I'm not saying we're going to crash like 2008, but we're not. This isn't. It's 1971 when Mars went retrograde in Aquarius. Nixon took us off the gold standard.
Yep, yep.
Mm-hmm. And
well,
in 1930,
Tracy, yeah.
In
yeah,
the summer of 39, God knows what we happened to us.
Well, yeah, let's, can we talk depression and, you know, a few things are going on between 1934 and 31. So let's trace, because this is what we're in now. These are these large cycles, and they have a frame of reference, as Tracy is saying. So from 34 to 41, we had, you know, food technology changed because of,
yeah,
of the war coming. So
Harvester.
We had to feed a lot of people and all that. And then, you know, women who'd spent, there's a lot of stuff around women that starts to get set in motion because the men went off to fight wars and the war, and so women then, you know, after 1941 came in, they had to fill those jobs. There's stuff around the feminine that's taking shape between 1934 and 1941. Prior to that, leading, you know, during the Civil War, 1860 to 1869, was the gold rush, and that brought waves of immigration. Mm-hmm. Of people seeking, you know, to take riches out of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
We've got parallels here. There are people that we've got, what is it, 67 million people without homes, on, you know, in this country, and God knows how many around the world, you know, seeking refuge, seeking gold in a figurative way. Somewhere, the people are coming across the border because where they are, Earth, Taurus, where they live, they are not safe.
That's
and,
right.
And what is elsewhere looks better. So we've got real grounding stuff here that we have to address. The revolution prior to that, when Uranus was in Taurus, was 1767 to 1775, which was the period of revolution around the world. You know, so
right.
So
that was I got confused. Yeah, Uranus was in Taurus during the Civil War. Uranus in, I get my wars sometimes fuzzy. Uranus,
that's hard,
was in Taurus before the revolution. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a leading up to something, and you're spot on about the Pluto return. I know we're using a lot of astrological jargon for people who may not be familiar with it, and I try to avoid that, but we have to.
No, it's okay.
Somehow.
Keep going.
Is that. That Pluto is in the second house of the U.S. Chart that many of us use. And so given that Mike Mnuchin is breaking, you know, getting rid of the credit bureau that Elizabeth Warren worked so hard to put in place, they're just mm-hmm. removing all the constraints on these grifters that are you know, dealing in the financial markets. So by the time we get to 2020 and 2021 and 22, when we have our Pluto return, I can't see how it bodes well, because the other piece about astrology that also gets lost in the shuffle is, okay, there are these transits and progressions, but mainly transits is what we're looking at right now. What's going on in the sky right now? How does it impact your chart, my chart, charts of countries, all of that? The transit, the planets aren't doing anything to anybody. They are calling our attention to certain energies that are being activated at this time. What we do with those energies is entirely contingent on our consciousness. So if I'm an angry white man, that Mars transit comes into my life in a certain way, as opposed to if I'm a battered woman who's been dealing with an outrageous spouse for so many years and I've just had it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my consciousness is now at a point where I got to get out of here. So it's consciousness. So when we look at the struggle around consciousness, the polarization that we're in this country right now, these transits, these planetary movements, they're going to be there whether we're there or not. They're
right.
Just going to go on about their merry or unmerry business, whether we're there or not. It's how do we find a third force? We keep functioning in the polarity. Well, you're this and I'm not. Self, other, black, white, tall, short, whatever. It's how do we, something I think, I hope in our collective, let's put it all in the cheese dome here, something I hope is trying to get us to a third
place, because I think it was Einstein who said, you know, you can't solve the problem at the level at which it's created.
Right.
So
right.
It's called in systems theory, it's called a second order change. You can't keep doing what you're doing. And that's where we're stuck right now. We've got all these energies, as Tracy is saying, that are pushing and saying, yeah, that's right, you can't keep doing what you're doing. We have to imagine how and in what ways what is stable, enduring, resistant to change can accommodate this eruption and lightning bolt Promethean energy. It's coming in anyway. We have to shift. We have to adapt. We have to update. And there's this obvious resistance to change. So how do we get grounded and say, here's what I think I can do?
Can I ask, is anybody starting to have people in their lives who have always been one way? And I don't care what the subject, it could be politics, it could be something else. And suddenly they're saying, yeah, so I think I'm going to do this. And you're somewhat flabbergasted. You're like, wow, you're doing that? I have started seeing this from people around me. I've heard people say, yeah, I think I'm going to move. Someone I never thought would move. Or I think I'm from this city.
Yeah.
Or I'm starting, I'm not calling these people rocks. But people who have been very in their way, their own thing, and now they're saying, yeah, I think this, and it's like a big change. And I'm like, holy smokes. That, I think, is part of what's, first of all, I'm curious if any of you have started seeing this.
They had it in a storyline on Instinct. Does anybody watch that show, Instinct? It's on Sunday night. It's you broadcast, yeah. So they had the, who says, you always follow the rules, always follow the rules. Well, and then she says to the third partner, you know, comes in and they kiss, and it's like, oh. And he says, well, follow the rules. And it's like she's changing, he's changing. And I thought, how interesting, whoever writes that show. Really interesting. Speaking to Kara, I love to love the show. But I thought, oh, and when you just said that, I went, oh, yeah, it's right there. You know, boom. So,
well, and what if Trump has all these secret worldwide advisors, and of the 33 families that run the world, if you happen to believe in that theory, he has this information about AI coming in. And so he says, what are we going to need in America so that our country doesn't collapse? We need Americans to be able to return to the basic jobs that only the Mexicans and the immigrants will fill. And in the movie in 2004, A Day Without a Mexican, I think proves that people who will do the labor intensive jobs, if they all quit, the country would collapse. So what if Trump and his cohorts in the high cloud of megalomania have decided that AI is going to come in and trash the country, so he better prepare America and keep all the other people out so that Americans will take these jobs? What if that's at the core of all of this?
Interesting concept.
I had never let my brain go there, Kat. Wow.
Well, interesting concept. Is Trump really that smart?
Oh, I hadn't thought of that either. It's hard for me. When I picture him in the White House, which I do as little as possible, I don't see him looking out windows. I see his windows covered with mirrors. You know, everything is a reflection of him, and what makes him look. So it's hard for me to imagine him being that connected or reflective.
He does listen. He gets input. Yes, and then he works it around in his brain, and then he acts on it, usually too quickly. But he does do that. And what if this is his great plan? I just, you know, I want us to all consider that maybe we're really being manipulated for a greater cause, and will it help us or will it hurt us in the long run?
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about it in that way, and that's definitely something I'm going to give some thought and actually do some research on, so I can come to my own conclusion. Interesting.
I just want to say, Kat, that may have been the scariest thing you've said in a long time.
Oh, but wait. Over the weekend, George Will topped me because when he called all the people around Trump as his poodles, the POTUS's poodles,
yes. Oh,
my God, wasn't that just perfect? I mean, that's what they are. Going back to why these people do what they do, because they've worked hard, they've gotten to the top, there they are, and the only way they can keep their job, going back to Mr. Fear again, is to do what he says. So he's not a positive pooch trainer. He is a negative trainer, and all of his poodles have on those spiky collars that he can just yank their chains. So he doesn't work with praise unless he chooses to,
bully.
But it's manipulative.
Yeah.
Yes, but it's a bully. But that's why they're his poodles, and I think that they're just wanting to keep the job, and maybe we're lucky that they're willing to endure that for whatever, you know, psychological reason, because maybe the next person in line is worse than they are.
Oh, mm-hmm. We can co-sign that. I mean,
yes.
I think, you know, when we look at Pence, there's a degree of perniciousness there, that he's that slow, steady, he's just watching from the sidelines, he's waiting for his moment, he believes God has called him to this moment, and so he goes along to get along, and I, you know, who knows what's behind him?
He's dark and dangerous.
Yeah, and there's always a sniper waiting in the bushes.
Can I go back to your Nostradamus and trumpet?
Yep,
and. You know, I've not pursued any of that, so I haven't looked it up, and I don't really know that much about Nostradamus except, you know, cursory stuff. But he would be betrayed. And the word betray is curious because I think in Trump land, betray would be his family.
Yeah, because nothing else matters to him.
Right.
So
that makes me... If Nostradamus, and I don't know why in the 1400s he decided to think about us, but it makes me think that maybe Ivanka or Jared may turn on him.
Well, he wouldn't care if Jared turned on him.
Well,
I think he would care if Ivanka did.
I think it's right, but it would be the two of them together, I think.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that, and that's interesting. I'm actually trying to look online to find the exact quote from Nostradamus, but of course I don't have it bookmarked, and there's so many of them here. But do you like if you put in Nostradamus and trumpet, you know, you'll come up with a lot.
I'll do that.
It was very insightful. Checking that out. Very insightful. Well, ladies, I hate to end on this note of Nostradamus and trumpet, but we must. But before we go, what I want you to do, and we'll start with Kat and go down the line, give folks a background of who you are, how they can connect with you, a website or a blog if you have it, so that people can explore more of what we spoke about.
Well, thank you. Yes, I write books that raise up the spirit, hopefully, and help people connect with the higher realms using whatever tools we've been given through nature. And you can reach me at kacyoung.com. That's spelled kacyoung.com. All my books are listed there. And the second thing you can do is pray. Every day, take some time, light a candle, focus on good, raise the light from your heart, bring it down from the cosmos, and fill this world with light, please.
Okay. And Tracy Abbott Cook?
I have a little astrology blog called Tracy Astro Salon. You can Google it and you'll find it. And that I'm not selling anything. It's just there for public consumption. And I primarily focus on the lunar cycles, the every 29-day cycle. And then I talk about the larger planets, like what Hadley and I were talking about as well, because every cycle is impacted by the larger cycles. So you can't make one move without addressing the others. And, you know, some people can find it, and I hope it brings them some helpful information.
I'm quite sure that it will. Hadley Fitzgerald?
I am a licensed marriage and family therapist. I see people for psychotherapy with or without, but preferably with an astrological underpinning as the background. The therapy work goes better and in more depth. And I also do astrological readings on a regular basis. I work on Skype, on the phone, in person here outside Los Angeles. I have a book called Images of Soul, which Reimagining Astrology, which I authored with the late Judy Hart. And I'm reachable at hadleyfitzgerald.com, HadleyFitzGerald. And I have 3 articles there at the website that people can look at. And I'm with CAC. It's how do we on a daily basis go into our souls, take a moment and say, what am I doing here? What's my purpose? And how can I continue to drive away the sorrow of the world?
Okay. And Ms. Jacqueline Seaman.
Oh, well, I'm an actress, and I've written a couple of books, and my new show that I love, as you mentioned earlier, thank you so much, Monique, is Make This Place Your Home. Actually, we'll begin airing on TLC in September, 9 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
And I'm really happy about that. Yeah, we've changed our start time. We decided to just go on in the fall and go straight through to the end of the year, which I'm very happy about.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I still work on General Hospital as Bobby Spencer, and I work on The Bay, which is on Amazon, as Sophia Madison, and I work on a web series called Misguided, which is a comedy. So I'm happy with that, and I do want to say, Kat didn't mention it, but she has a new book coming out that's absolutely wonderful, Healing with Crystals, and I got to read it, you know, because she emailed me, she was still actually in the process of working on it, but it's a fabulous book, oh my gosh, where she just correlates, you know, crystals with so many other areas and makes connections with other things that we're all interested in, like the chakras and astrology and essential oils and on and on and on. It's just a brilliant book. So I just
want thank you, Jackie. And it was my honor that Jackie wrote the foreword for me. And it's called The Art of Healing with Crystals. And it's down to earth and basic. And Jackie and I took a trip together years ago to Egypt. So we had much in common. But I'm very grateful to her. And thank you for mentioning it, Z.
Yeah, it's such a good book. And actually, as when I was telling my daughter, Lacey, who's 25, about your book, and I mentioned about essential oils, and she goes, essential oils? I said, well, Kat's last book was on essential oils. So Lacey borrowed your book. I'm like, Lacey, I'm not giving it to you. I'm loaning it to you, but I want it back. And she's like, okay.
Well,
so
you know,
there we go. And along
sometimes,
with all of you, I – oh,
go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Please, go ahead.
Well, I just want to say that in sync with CAC's book, I happen to keep crystals by my bed, you know, for a very long time. And I love what you ladies said about, you know, staying positive and bringing positive into the world. And every morning I get up for, you know, just 10 minutes and do my little meditation and, you know, talk to God and talk to the angels. And I always try to tell people about that because I know a lot of people do, but then there are a lot of people who don't, or they get busy and it's easier to just pop out of bed and get on with your day. And I just want to tell anybody who's not doing that, do it when you can, because it will change your day. It will change your life. It will change how you think, how you feel, and what you attract and how you relate to other people.
Most definitely.
So there we go.
Most definitely. Well, ladies, I do want to thank all of you for being here today. And what I have to say is that change begins with the person that you see in the mirror. So if you don't like what you see, one person can make a difference by just adjusting themselves, okay? Because you're not necessarily going to change anybody else, but you can definitely shift your own energy. So, ladies, thank you to the audience. Thank you for being with us as we collectively get over it and you know, see what's going to happen with our little country here and our little world. But we're going to be positive for women's rights moving forward. Ladies, the divine in me honors the divine in you. And for everyone, remember that the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of love. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.